So today's the solemnity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. This is also, Jesus says, the feast day of the divine will. And this is why each year we try to have a day of recollection on this day, because what a glorious day Our Lady assumed into heaven, body and soul. Now, the reason Jesus said this is he's going to change us, body and soul, with this great gift of the divine will. He talks to Louisa about the... he explains the Gospels, and he says, remember the woman carrying out her dead son on litter, and everybody's weeping. And Jesus goes up and touches the litter, and the boy is raised from the dead. He says that's the human will. The human will has kept us completely dead. We don't know how to pray. We don't know how to do anything but sin. This is why we go to confession each week. We're really good at sinning. But what God is asking us is he wants us to enter into his kingdom. He wants us to enter into his perfection. He says, be perfect as my heavenly Father is perfect. So he doesn't say try to be. He wants us perfect. So what we've been striving for the last 2,000 years is a good life, a holy life, a saintly life. And very few have become great saints. What do you have to do? You have to mortify yourself. You have to be strict with yourself. You have to basically go to a cave and hide from everybody else in order to become a saint. And so what happens is very, very few people become heroic saints because it's a very difficult thing to do, humanly speaking. Now, Jesus says to Louisa, he says, for the 2,000 years, the saints have been doing things for me. They've been building schools, they've been building hospitals, they've been building cathedrals, they've started religious orders, they have striving to be perfect in their imperfect way. And Jesus says, now I want more. And so it's the fulfillment of what our Lord said to St. Louis de Montfort. In the final days, they'll be the greatest saints of the history of the church, and it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. So what God is bringing about is he's bringing about a new beginning for mankind. And that's this great gift of the divine will. But it's really not new. Some people say, well, there's nothing new with Revelation, since Revelation. And it's true. There's nothing. Nothing new since the apostles. So how can this be new? Well, it's really not new. It's the oldest gift on earth. It was the gift that God breathed into Adam. It's this divine life that God breathed into Adam. And what God wants is he wants this divine life to reign in us. Now, Adam was a priest. Eve was a mother. Adam was a king. Eve was a queen. Adam was the man who the Lord breathed this life into. And when Eve sinned, Adam could have said to Eve, you were wrong, and redeemed Eve. But he didn't. He fell into sin. He fell into disobedience. So Jesus comes 4,000 years later. He breathes on the apostles, receive the Holy Spirit. And basically they waited those 9 days of prayer in the cenacle and on Pentecost Sunday. The church was born. Again, what happens? This breath of God, this life of God, has been given to the church. Now that's the first Pentecost, and we all know the first Pentecost is in the beginning of summer, where you have the asparagus and you have the rhubarb, you have the strawberries. You're celebrating. This is the first Pentecost. The second Pentecost is at the end of the summer harvest. It's the Feast of Booths, the Feast of Succoth, the Feast of Tabernacles. It's the great Feast of Trumpets. And Jesus says that basically his kingdom is coming. It's going to be the harvest. Now, the church has everything with the Jewish faith. The church has everything with the Jewish faith. They have Christmas, they have Hanukkah, they have Passover, we have Passover, we have Pentecost, they have Pentecost. But we don't have harvest. And now that's why St. Fano de Francia is so important. He was the priest who put his Nihili Obstat on the writings of Louisa, and then Archbishop May put his imprimatur on the first 19 volumes. And then he died. And Jesus says he's going to finish his work in heaven. Now, he's going to become, well, he is a great saint, and the Pope made him charge of vocations. And I was sitting near the Holy Father, not near, you know, a stone's throw from the Holy Father when the canonization took place. And I was basically with Father, Pignatelli, who was the postulator of the cause. And at the end, and he knew Luisa, because he lived in the town next to Corrado as a boy. And when Father Anibale was made saint, he went, "Now, Luisa." See, he knows what's coming. Why? See, Anna de Francia, who started this great religious life, the Rogationists, said, "I give up everything for this gift of the divine will." And they all thought he was nuts. How can you give up your convents and your orphanages? How can you do this to follow Luisa Picaretta? Well, he did this because he knows very well, because God taught him. He was the spiritual director of Melanie of La Salette. He took care of Melanie and he learned from Melanie. Jesus was preparing him for Luisa. So when Luisa came into his life, he found that this is the gift that he wanted more than anything in the world. Now, he was close friends with Saint Pius X, and they, as a matter of fact, Saint Pius X said that the volumes, well, not the volumes, the Hours of the Passion must be printed. And some people have said that the book that Saint Padre Pio was reading was the book that was published by St. Honorable de Francia, The Hours of the Passion, when he received his stigmata. Think about it. What God is doing is he's beginning it's a whole new beginning for the world and for the church. That's why St. Padre Pio said, the world and the church will focus on Luisa Picaretta in the third millennium. And then he says, Luisa is like a second sun in the sky. So as our sun sets, another sun rises. What he meant by that was there's no more darkness. See, God is going to bring about a new beginning. And so we have this great day of Our Lady's solemnity into heaven, the assumption into heaven. How great this is. Mary, assumed into heaven, body and soul. Yet Jesus says, this is to prepare the world for the divine will, which is coming. See, we are coming to the end of time. We have to understand that. God, we're going to enter eternity. Time does not last forever. That's why Jesus says, I will be with you to the end of time. And most people say, well, that's forever. Well, we were not made for time and space. We were made for eternity. We were made to live in the intimacy with God, in his divine will, in his divine love. This is where we're supposed to be. Adoring God, loving God, praising God, thanking God, glorifying God, worshiping God, as Our Lady does. So what the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary is that her children will become like her. Their children will then become like her son. This is the triumph. The Eucharistic reign of Jesus is going to reign in us. He's going to be alive in us. When we gaze, it's Jesus gazing in our gazing. When we speak, it's Jesus speaking in our speaking. When we walk, it's Jesus walking in our walking. He is alive in us on earth as the saints possess him in heaven. But we have a body and a soul. The saints don't have bodies in heaven at this point. So this is a great day. And what we see in the gospel is Our Lady saying, Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. How have I deserved that the mother of my Lord should come to me? In all humility, she says this. And it's the same thing for us. Look at the great saints in the church. Look at the martyrdoms of the saints. Look at the miracles of the saints. And yet Jesus is calling us to have more than the saints. How can this be? I want to please God in all things. Let it be done to me as you say. What Jesus says is that the saints are surrounding the Trinity. The saints are like a crown around the Trinity. All beautiful little stars all around the Trinity. He says, the children of the divine will have entered into the Son of the divine will with the saints surrounding them. What God has planned for us is it's the ultimate gift. It's to go back to where we were before the fall. This is why this is a glorious thing that's happening. Our job is to read, to study, and to put this into practice. We have to make this our life. Now, I know some people spend hours playing the piano and become great pianists, or hours in front of the mirror lifting weights and become really strong. I mean, really fanatical. Hours on skates becoming, figure skaters. Okay, Jesus is saying to us, there's little time left. There's little time left. Focus on this gift so that I can use you with Louisa to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. There's very little time left. Eternity is coming. Now, for some of us, we're going to be there before we know it. I say, my mom died last year, and I said, I really want to see you, Mom, but not too soon. You know? I want to get a lot of work done. I want to please God in all things. But what God is asking of us is he needs us to give our fiat. He needs us to silently be with him, to hear the Lord in silence. You know, that's why, you know, get rid of television, radio, newspaper, magazines. Really, just get rid of the stuff that are clouding our minds. Remember, after Louisa was born, what happened? Sports came into life. Hockey, football, golf, tennis, you name it, began after Louisa was born. Why? The devil wanted us to have other gods. So what do? On Sunday, sports. That's our God. As Catholics, we got to stop that. We have to stop that. Our God wants us to enter into him. He wants to participate in us. He wants that mutual possession, God possessing us and us possessing God. So again, there's nothing wrong with sports. Nothing. But there's no time for it. There's no time for it. We have to keep holy the Sabbath. We have to spend our time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, silently listening to Jesus. He is the Word of God. He has dictated these words to Louisa. Louisa has written down everything. Why? For us. You know, all the questions that Louisa had were our questions. When Jesus said, at the end of Louisa's life, Louisa, thank you. And Louisa said, I'm so sorry for all my questions. He says, you question nothing. It was those who would be reading the volumes that had the questions. And I gave them all their questions. And then you, Louisa, have let me answer them. That's what's happening. So poor Louisa, all our questions. We had to give them to her, and she tormented over them. Yet God answered us. So if you have a question in reading the volumes, just stop and read a little bit more, and God will answer your question. And also, if you don't have a priest or a deacon or a bishop to help you, pray for one, and God will give you one. See, it's in the priest's hands, Jesus said. It's in the Pope's hands. He says very clearly, the Pope will be the first one who will be given the key. And he says, Louisa, you are the key to the kingdom. And as the Pope uses you, he will open the door for all people. And this great gift of the divine will come from the Vatican. How glorious this is. Now, I was very upset when, in 2005, when the postulate of the cause was from Argentina. I said, what does anybody know from Argentina about Louisa Picaretta? So God just, you know, God knows what he's doing. So here's a good friend of the Pope who is promoting Louisa Picaretta. How perfect is this? See, God's got everything planned, even in our own life. The difficulties that you're going through, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional difficulties, financial, God is in charge. And what he's doing is he's stripping us of everything so that all that we will have is him. See, God loves us very, very much. And he's got great plans for us. And he puts us in situations where we have to depend on him. And the more that we depend on him, the happier we're going to be. See, it's going to come to the point where no matter what happens, we say, Fiat. Let it be done as you say. I want your holy will done in my life, Lord. I don't want my human misery anymore. So our Lord gives us this day today, this Feast of the Assumption, in order to help us turn to his mother. Help us, and she's going to help us to turn to him. And then Jesus and Mary are going to show us who Louisa is, the little newborn, the firstborn of the divine will. As Jesus calls her, the mother of the second generation of the children of light. God is going to bring great changes to the world. That's why everything is falling apart. And what's coming is going to be very tough for those that do not love God. For us, it's fiat. It's going to be ecstasy. For us, it's Lord, let it be done to me as you say. Watch what God is going to do in your life. And the more that you can say fiat with Our Lady, with our Lord, with Louisa, the happier you're going to be. So now we're going to consecrate ourselves to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. As I said, all the people in Ireland are doing that. Where that's the pink sheet. The Lord is asking us to really turn to Our Lady so that the kingdom can be established on earth as it is in heaven. Colleen, do I have a pink sheet? Consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And we pray this in the name of everyone and everything, as if the whole world, from Adam to the last person, is here, and we will put special intention for the consecration of Russia. Most Holy Virgin Mary.